work. And I want to give you something to think about. You know, in the earlier days of ministry, when Christ was walking on the earth, how many people got saved in a church?
None.
What?
None.
Why? There wasn't one. Isn't that something? Let's ask that question one more time. I mean, how many people in the days of Christ got saved in the First Baptist Church? None. How many people got saved in a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, a Methodist church? None. How many got saved in the Catholic Church? None. But how many got saved in the prisons?
A lot.
A lot. A lot. How many got saved in the byways and highways of life? A lot. How many got saved in the marketplaces? A lot. How about on a hilltop? In a chariot. So where will people mostly be saved? In the church?
No.
And the question I have is, who did most of the ministry after Christ ascended? They were called what?
Disciples.
They were called disciples. They weren't called pastors or priests. They were called what? Disciples. So who does the work of the ministry? Disciples. Who does the work of salvation other than the Holy Spirit? Disciples. And we got to get a grip of that, right? I want you to absolutely know positively for sure. Last Sunday in the church service, no one was saved. But Friday night at Men's Challenge, four people got saved. We have to make sure that when we are disciples, we decide that we're serious about this. Who still wants to be a disciple? Okay, we're going to continue in our discipleship training. I've been telling you that one of the aspects of discipleship is a renewing of your what?
Mind.
Your mind. Zig Ziglar, who I took some courses from him, Zig Ziglar, one of the greatest motivational speakers of our time, was saying to people one time, one of the most dreaded diseases a person can get is the hardening of the... Hardening of the attitudes. Not hardening of the arteries, hardening of the attitudes. And hardening of the attitudes starts with stinking thinking. How many ever have stinking thinking?
Yeah.
And I won't let you know right now that hardening of the arteries is not contagious. You can sit next to somebody who's got cholesterol in the thousands and you're not going to catch it. But you sit next to somebody for a long enough period of time who's got hardening of the attitude, guess what? You could catch it. You weren't meaning because.
Oh.
No, I don't. How many ever caught hardening of the attitudes? I mean, you're sitting next to somebody, you work with somebody, you live with somebody, unfortunately, at times, and all they got is a case of stinking thinking. I mean, life is just so horrible. How many can walk out and say, yeah, you're right. I've been seeing things a lot wrong. Because, see, I got this hangnail, and it's making me walk with a limp. Life is so bad. No, life is not bad. Life is not easy, but life is good. How many know life is good? How many rather not be here this morning? Life is good. How many know we're blessed? And what we got to understand is that in order for us to become disciples, and I'm not talking about churchgoers. I'm not talking about churchgoers, because sometimes churchgoers will come in and say, Pastor Tom, can I talk to you? And I'm not making fun. Yeah, why? Oh, life is just so bad. Life is so bad. No, it's not. You're making it bad. How many of you have many more things to bless than you do to curse? How many of you know you got a whole bunch of stuff to be thankful for? And we've been talking about that, right? And I gave you some homework. Did anybody give God thanks for your toothbrush this morning? That was part of your homework, right? I said, as soon as you get up, what are you supposed to do? Thank you, God, for my pillow. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for my blanket. Thank you for my toothbrush. Thank you for electricity. Thank you for hot water. Thank you for my food. Did anybody thank God for their clothes this morning? In case you didn't, I'm thanking God right now. You all have clothes. I don't want to think about it any further than that. I'm just saying, thank you, God. They all have clothes. And so what's good to thank God, right? And we have to have a renewing of our minds. Now, how many of you know sometimes you think other people are climbing inside your mind sometimes? You know, but I want to let you know right now, just because you hear voices don't mean they're out to get you.
Doesn't mean they're not.
Stinking thinking. See? Stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. And so what we got to understand is that in order to become a disciple, we need to renew our minds. We have got to think of life differently. I'll give you a good example of that from a story that you know. David and Goliath. Who ever heard of David and Goliath? And all the Philistines were lined up on one side of the battlefield on top of the mountain. And all of the Israelites is on one side, and they're looking at each other saying, you do it first. I'm going to do it. You come down here. Don't make me come up there. But they weren't what? The Philistines didn't want to go down there and get all bloodied up. And the Israelites didn't want to get all bloodied up. And so the Philistines decided, hey, we'll know what we'll do. We'll just send out our big warrior. And his name was? Goliath, right? And so they sent down Goliath. They had it all figured out. Hey, you know what? Let's not get all bloodied up. We'll send down our champion. You send over your champion. Whoever wins, everybody loses and wins. That's it. That's the plan. So they bring down Goliath, this monster of a man. He's standing in the middle field. You all know the story, right? Come on out here. Fight like a man. You all know the story. Nobody wanted to fight him. Nobody. Except for who? David. A small boy decided he'll take on that giant. Now, how is it that all of the Israelites, Saul included, mighty King Saul, including Saul, said, I ain't going to go out there. He's too big, he's too powerful, he's too mean, he's too strong, he's too experienced. You see, here's the difference, and this is where the renewing of your mind comes in. Every other warrior in the place did not want to fight the giant because they compared the giant to themselves. And David was the only one that compared the giant to God. Everybody said, he's too big for me. He's too big for me. My problems are just so huge. When you compare them to who? You. And David said, he's not bigger than my God. And what we have to do is renewing of our minds. We got to look at our situation in life and we got to say, you know what? Nothing. What? Nothing is too big for my God. And when you tackle your problems and have a renewing of your mind, you say, you know what? I'm a failure, but in him I can be successful. How many failures we got in this room? Pretty darn. Did she not raise her hand? Well, Eric, see, this is really cool about being me, because you see me, I see all of you. And Eric went like this and he went. I saw it, Eric. Eric goes. And so, how many failures? We're all failures at something, aren't we? And we have to make a renewing of our minds. And what we got to say to ourselves is, you know what? My past is checkered. Who's got a checkered past? Who's made some stupid decisions in their life? How many still are facing the consequences of those stupid decisions? Everybody. And she didn't even tell you to get up either. Everybody that's got a stupid past, stand up. Look around. It's universal. It's universal. But stay standing. I didn't tell you to sit down here. But everybody's got a future. Sit down. You see, it all depends on where you choose to live your life. If you choose to live your life in your past, welcome to it. How's that working out for you? But everybody in this life, not only do we got a past, but we got a what? A future. And you get to decide who and what and where are you going to live that future for. You got to decide. If you live it the way you've been living it, that's a definition of what? Insanity says if you continue to do the very things you have done, you will be where you always have been. How many say amen to that? And that's just not in doing. It's also in thinking. Isn't it? It's also in thinking. And so we have to have a transformation and the renewing of our minds. How many in this room say God does not waste his time? Does God waste his time? Does he know exactly what he's doing? Yes. Are you not created in his image? Did he not choose you? You think he's wasted his time on you? No. Has anybody in this room ever even one time feel unworthy? I mean, you do, right? Don't we feel unworthy? I got to make sure I tell you something. You got to understand something when you think you're unworthy. So what you're saying then in your unworthiness is that God would send his son to be nailed to a tree for someone who is not worthy. That's what you're saying. We are worthy. We're worthy that he have a son to die for us, Michael. We feel unworthy because Satan's going, you're just such a screw up. You never make any good decisions in your life. Who do you think you are? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm special. I am so special that Jesus Christ died for me. And you know what? I have worth, Michael, or Jesus would not have died for me. There you go. Who here has sacred worth in the eyes of the Lord? So, what we got to do is have a renewing of our minds. And I want to let you know right now, I'm telling you, it's not your blood pressure that's going to kill you. It's not even your heart that's going to kill you. Your mind will kill you before you die. Do you know you can be walking dead? You can go through life walking dead. You can be standing up, people say, oh, don't they look good? But on the inside, you're dying 1,000 times. How many understand that? We could be dead sitting in our chairs. And I want to let you know right now, this ain't the practice round, brothers and sisters. This is called life. And this ain't the practice you get to come back and do it again. This is it. How many understand that? And we must have a renewing of our minds. Turn your Bibles, please. First Corinthians 15, verses 33 to 34. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 30, bless you, verses 15 to 34. And he does sue, by the way. First Corinthians 15, 33 to 34. We're going to start with a review from last week.
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Too many of us have been hanging around too many of the wrong people. Is that a fair statement? Too many of us have been hanging around too many of the wrong people. And I will tell you that when I do premarital counseling, especially when it's the guy who is not the believer, when it's the guy who doesn't go to church and she does, she's raised in the church and they're madly in love with each other and they want to get married, and I counsel them and I say to her, hey, you better think this through. Oh, I'll bring him to the Lord. No, you won't. Do you know in that situation, almost always when the guy's a very strong alpha male kind of guy? How many, you understand what alpha male? Alpha male kind of strong character guy. Sometimes he'll talk her out of going to church too. Is that a fair statement? That's the way that it works. And if you hang around enough people who are not saved and aren't Christians, there's a chance you're going to be backslidden. There's a chance. Because it says in Scripture that we press to go forward. We press forward. Why? Because the back is what? Pulling us back. Pulling us back. How many of you, even one time in this room, ever had somebody say to you, what are you going to church for? I knew you were there last year at Christmas Eve, weren't you? Man, this is only September. You got some more months to go. And so what we got to clearly understand is that bad company will corrupt good behavior. And so you got to have a renewing of your mind. You got to start thinking, okay, what have I been feeding in this brain? What am I feeding in? And I told you a while ago, everything you've ever heard, seen, or taught, it's in there. How many know? It's in there. We can pull stuff up. I taught you that before. Pull open the file drawers and go in and start pulling things out. It's in there. We were just listening, Jesse and I and Sissy, on the way here, I found one of my old Creedence Clearwater Revival CDs. Now, this CD that we found going through our boxes, we haven't had for like 5 or 6 years. And we put it in. Somebody finish this phrase. Down on the... Now, see, you listened to my CD this morning. You were listening to my CD, weren't you? How many knew the ending of that song? Now, when is the last time... I know somebody's going to say, well, this morning, brushing my teeth, it was on. No, it wasn't. How many know you haven't heard that song in years? In years, right? But where is it? Imagine what's in there, what you heard yesterday. Jeremiah was a... Imagine what's in there that you heard last week. Imagine what's in there, what you've been watching on television. Imagine what's in there, what you've been looking on the computer with. Guess where it's at? And I just pulled up songs you haven't heard since you've been kids. Earth! See? Well, you weren't born. Eric will teach you later. And so, it's there, right? And everything we have ever heard, anything we have ever seen, where is it? It's in there. It's in there. And I taught you about ants, right? I teach you ants, A-N-T, little s, automatic negative thoughts. How many gets automatic negative thoughts? Where do they come from? See, now, see, I knew Leonard's going to say don't know, but I'll tell you where they come from. You know where they come from? It's in there. And it just starts coming up. And you don't even know why. But there it is. I'm no good. I made stupid choices. I'm never going to amount to anything. Life is terrible. Life is bad. It's in there. And so what you got to do is transform it. You have to physically change it. You have to change it. Now listen to me. Humpty Dumpty sat. If you got that one, then you should know this one. For God so, then you should know that one too. Right? Do you? Hickory dickory. It's right there. For I can do
all things.
It's in there. It's in there. But what you got to do is get rid of the garbage and put that in the forefront. When you get up in the morning and you don't think you can amount to anything, yes, I do, for God so loved me.
Hallelujah.
You got to change that. For God so loved the world, you got to personalize it. For God so loved me that he sent his only son to die for
me.
And you know what? I'm special. I am special. Who's special in this room? I'm special. Hey, I make stupid choices, but I'm special. And so are you. And so are you. Turn in your Bibles, please. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all
these things shall be added to you.
Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added unto you. What things? A Lincoln Continental in your driveway? Well, prosperity doctrine tells you that. You can get anything that you want. Just all you got to do is what? Name it. And claim it. Oh, we can all have Cadillac Escalade sitting in our driveway. And if you don't have one, it's because you ain't claimed it. Well, just in case you want to know now, I'm claiming right now my little Toyota will soon be paid off, I hope, one of these days. I owe $3,800 on that thing. I want it paid off. And I'm claiming it. And you know what God says? Work hard and you'll receive it. Go to work, make your payments on time, and guess what? In 10 months, that car will be what? How many understand that's how life works? Pennies from heaven. I don't think so. It's more like this song. I owe. How many know the rest of that one, right? Let's do it all together. I owe. So off to work I go. That's the way life is. How many understand that? See, the renewing of our minds have got to tell us that we are born to work. You know, the curse that came upon man that said, all the days of your life, you will what? Work. You will labor. How many understand? That's in there. That's scripture. In case you never got through all the way to the end of Revelation, just go to Genesis. It's in there, chapter 3. It's right in the first book. It's right in the first part of the book. It says what? All the days of your life you will work. Easy street work? And the ground will bring forth thistles and thorns, and you will labor all the days of your life. That's God's curse. Right? That's God's curse. There ain't no... There was once a wise old king. And the wise old king told the wisest of the wise, I want you to compile for me all the wisdom of the ages. All the wisdom of the ages. And so all these wise men came together. They wrote 10 really thick volumes, about that thick each. 10 books. And the wise old king said, that's too much. My loyal subjects won't read it. Condense it. And so the wisest of the wise went back to work, and they took the 10 big volumes. They condensed it down to 3 volumes. And the wisest of the wise said, here is the wisdom of the ages. And the king said, it's too much. My loyal subjects won't read it. Condense it. And so the wisest of the wise went back to work, and they brought the 3 volumes into 1 book. And the king read it and said, it's just still too much. My loyal subjects won't read it. And finally, the wisest of the wise took the book, threw it away, took out a tablet, and wrote down a sentence and gave it to the king. The king looked at it and said, finally! Finally, the wisdom of the ages that my loyal subjects need to hear and can understand. You know what it said? There ain't no free lunch. How many of you know there ain't no free lunch? It takes what?
Work.
Renewing of your minds. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Cadillac Escalades in my driveway? No. Gucci purses? No. But I don't want that stuff. You know what stuff will be added unto you? Joy. Love. Perseverance. Humility. Who needs some of that kinds of stuff? And if you seek first the kingdom of God and not Oprah, if you seek first the kingdom of God and not Joel Osteen, he's not wrote enough books to bring you joy. The book is already written. Save yourself some money on the CDs and go to the Christian bookstore and get the book. How many understand that? And all these things shall be added unto you. Where you sit today, do you have joy? I mean, is your joy overwhelming you and just pouring out of every crevice of your soul? Joy. Joy that life is not easy, but joy is, but I'm going to be a winner. Brothers and sisters, in this life, it's not the one who finishes first that gets the crown. It's all who finish get the crown. Anybody want to hear, well done? Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. Well done. You have to renew your minds. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. First John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
You know, I had some stuff I had to do on Thursday evening. I had to do a funeral thing, and I really wanted to watch the Steeler game. So I taped it. And I was all excited, you know, about watching the game. And I got home, and Sissy, we both got home, and we had our popcorn ready, and, you know, pushed play. You know, and I was all excited until the final minute of the game. And I lost my excitement. And they got down to about the 30-yard line. I was very unexcited at that time. And they kicked that field goal for a team that only won one game. And, you know, at the beginning of the game, they had some commentators on there said, the Steelers are not going to lose. They cannot lose. And there's no way they're going to lose. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, they got all the guys back. And, you know, I was all excited, but I lost my excitement. I was very disappointed when I went to bed. How many understand that? And I wanted to say something or some stuff. If I had one of those rubber brick things, I'd have threw it at my TV. How many understand that? I just would have threw it at it. Over a football game. You grasping that? Over a football game. How many had a little disappointment thing going on when you watched that game? A little frustration. How many said, I'm going to go play this game better than they can do this? And over a what? A football game. And the same thing would have happened in reverse had they have won. Had there been an interception and somebody ran it all the way back and got a touchdown, we go, yeah! Over a football game? Shouldn't we get excited about an empty tomb?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't we get excited that when we know, when we breathe our last, we open our eyes and we look in the eyes of the Lord? Shouldn't we be excited about that? You have to get out of the world and get into God. You have to do that to be a disciple. You cannot walk around this world wanting all the stuff of the world. It's not going to cut it for you. True? I mean, talk to anybody. You know, people that have issues in their life, whatever it is in their life. When you're done doing whatever it is that you're doing, guess what? You're going to be in the same place you've always been. Unless you what? Renew your minds. Turn to your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 6. Whatever I said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Yep. What disciples truly understand, and what it is that we need to understand, is you are never going to have a life on easy street. And this prosperity doctrine of health and wealth, it is not true. It is not true. Everybody in this world is going towards an event in their life which is going to change them for all of the rest of eternity. And does everybody know what that thing is called? Death. Everybody in this room, you can pray to Jesus Christ and live to be 1,000. But guess what? It's not going to matter. Oh, it's because my faith is not strong enough. No, it's in the scripture. From the dust you came and to the death you shall return. Is that true? You're going to die. But you do not have to be dead by yourself. Everybody in this room, you get to pick the destination. But you do not get to pick the transportation. And disciples get it. We get it. In these corruptible bodies that we have are going to fade away. How many understand that? They're going to fade away. I can absolutely tell you 100 years from now, this room is going to look different. How many can grasp a hold of that truth? Disciples get this. I am in the process of being changed. I am in the process of this body is going to fade away. And this body has got to fade away so that I get my what? Who wants the new body?
Yeah.
I'm going to look like Fabio. I am Jesse. Ow. And we're going to be, you know, transformed. Cliff taught me something today about pumping up. Oh, this way, yeah. And so, disciples get it. They get it. When we see someone that's in the process of going to their heavenly home, sure there's mourning, sure there's grief, sure there's tears, but hallelujah too. Because another one's about ready to finish their course, get their prize, get their crown. Anybody long for that day for you?
Don't cry for me.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. That's a different song. See, Eric? Ants, right there. And so what we have to do is we have to remember that in this world, these earthly temples are going to fade away and they are going to go back to where they came from. And that is not a morbid message. That's a hallelujah message. Because the old body must change. For the perishable must put on the imperishable and the mortal must put on immortality so that the saying will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in
victory.
There you go. That's better than "Don't cry for me, Argentina." Death has been swallowed up in what? Victory. Why do we go reaching for the things that tarnish and fade away? You know the Cadillac Escalade that everybody wanted to hope? In 4 years, they're going to need a transmission. See, what the health and wealth and prosperity doctor forgets to tell you, that all that stuff that you want is going to fade away. It's going to be gone, isn't it? It's going to be gone. And so we got to understand by the renewing of our minds is we got to learn as disciples to seek the things that are valuable. Listen to me. Listen to me. Sissy and I would like to get a pickup truck. So if you have one around, you don't need it. But we'd like to get a pickup truck. Because we all kind of, oh, it's gone. And I go through these cycles. And we like to get a little pickup truck. And we're looking for pickup trucks, like, you know, for $5,000, you know. Not looking for $40,000 trucks. Well, you know, $5,000, something like that. Get a little truck, a little pickup truck, right? Tell you the truth. I have this little thing that's going on in my life right now. It's my daughter and Kevin's little son called Jonah. He's 3, right, Sissy?
Yeah.
He's 3 years old. He's about that big. You seen him, right? You know what he calls me? His best friend. Right, Shauna? I'm his best friend. You can have all the Cadillac Escalades in the world. If my little grandson thinks of me as his best friend, have them all. I ain't trading it. Help me understand that. I ain't trading it. And I'd rather have a 3-year-old grandson call me on the phone and say, "Papa, you going to come get me today?" I'd rather have that in my life. Truly in my life. I'd rather have my grandkids and my kids and my wife respect me and love me and honor me. And I'd rather have that than all the other stuff. And that's what I'm fighting for. How many understand that? That's what you got to go for. And disciples, get it. Transforming your mind. God, how many's got children in this room? Keep your hands up. Who's got grandkids? Who's got brothers and sisters? Boy, that's you. Yep. Brothers and sisters and people to love? How wealthy are you? Now, I will admit, wrongly, and I'm confessing to you now, when I was younger, I would have traded my sisters for a good puppy. I would have done that. How many would have done that with your brothers and sisters too? Hey, you got an old mutt, I'll trade you. But as you grow and you mature, how many understand you can't trade that? You can't trade that. It's renewing of your minds. Turn in your Bibles, please. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James 1, 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to take that passage of Scripture, and I want to make sure that you do some discipling here. I want you to start to grasp a hold of Scripture, and I want you to take it off of what we call the Logos. Does anybody know what Logos means? The written word. It's right, you know, when you're reading that piece of paper, everybody look at that piece of paper. See that type on there, that words? That's Logos. You're reading Logos. That's the paper. It's the words. You might as well be reading Moby Dick. It's the Logos. That's all it is. It's also a word. It's words. But disciples take the Logos off of the written word and they internalize it. And they say, what does that written word mean to what? Me. Preaching 101. Preaching 101. Scripturalize, read the scripture. Internalize, bring it in. Personalize, what is that saying to me? Verbalize, put it back out to the people. Now you can preach, right? Scripturalize, read the Bible. Internalize, bring it in. Personalize, what's it saying to me? And then what? Verbalize, put it back out. Health and prosperity doctrine is trumped by God's word. It is trumped by God's word. That says, in this world, you will face what? Trials. Of what kind? Every kind. Health? You bet. Financial? Of course. Relationships? Obviously. And so we have to know that we will face these trials. But what's the purpose of the trials? Some people say, well, God hates me. He has it out for me. He knew that time I tied the two cats' tails together. He knows the time I pulled the little wings off the flies. He knew the time I took the magnifying glass and I burnt the ant. And he's out to get me. He knows the life I've led and he's out to get me. Do you think that? Hey, if God was out to get you, guess what? You'd be gotten. God, don't mess. I mean, let's be real. In the days of Noah, God was out to get them. Because of the sinful desires, he was grieved that he even created us. And what did he do? Everybody. God is not out to get you. God is out to transform you. God is out to get you victorious. God is out to strengthen you. And you cannot be strengthened if you do not have a trial. At best, you will be weak and cushy. Is that true?
Yes.
And disciples get it. Disciples understand it. Why were the disciples in the storm in the boat? Because God was out to get them? No. God was there to what? Strengthen them. You all remember the story, right? The waves are crashing and the wind is howling. And where's Jesus Christ sleeping? Where? In the back. In the stern of the boat. And they say, many theologians say, in the boat they had a bottom to it. And Jesus was in the bottom of the boat, in the back. And where's the disciples? Up front in the storm. The fishermen, right? And the big old storm came up. You all know the story. But why was they in the storm? Rule number one, because they got in the boat. Now that may seem like a humorous statement to you, but no. You know why they were in the storm? Paul, they got in the boat. And why were they in the boat? Because Jesus said, get in the boat. Right? Jesus said, get in the boat. Because we are going where? To the other side. That was the promise. Get in the boat because we are going to the other side. Did Jesus Christ know a storm was coming? He knows all things. He knows all things, doesn't he? Why didn't he tell them? I mean, why didn't he say, oh, listen, by the way, get in the boat. Oh, I will need to tell you, when you're halfway across the lake, there's no coming back. Big storm's coming. Fact is, it's going to be so big, you probably think you're going to die. It's going to probably be like a hurricane or something, and you really are going to think you're going to die. But don't worry about it. Just get in the boat. You know what they just said? Can we go tomorrow? Can we go? I heard tomorrow's going to be a sunny day. Let's go tomorrow. Some of us would have had to check our day keepers. What time do you want to leave, Jesus? I can't go at 12. I'll pitch you in around 2. You see, Jesus knew the storm was coming. And he also knew something was going to happen in a storm. He knew it. The storm is crashing and the winds are howling. And they're crying, oh, we're going to die. He didn't even care we're going to die. He didn't even care. Get up, Jesus, we're going to die. And there's been trials and tribulations that you have all been through that you thought you was going to die too. How many say amen to that? There's trials and tribulations that you have all come through and you say, there's no way I can survive this. There's no way. This is going to be the death of me. What does Sanford say? Elizabeth! Sissy, what did he say? Elizabeth! Elizabeth! I'm coming home, Elizabeth! I'm coming home. And we think that way sometimes too. And Jesus got up in the boat, and what's the first thing he said? Oh, you of little faith. Now, what was the statement made for? And this is what you have to internalize. You got to make disciples of yourselves. You got to start thinking better, bigger, mature Christian thoughts. What was the promise? We are going to go over there. I didn't tell you we weren't going to be in a storm. I told you what? We're going to get over there. You see, what we concentrate on is what? Not the promise. We concentrate on the problems. And disciples say, you know what? The heck with the problems. I got the solution. For all things are what?
Possible.
And this is where the disciples gain strength. Were they in an itty-bitty storm? And when they got through that with Christ Jesus, and they put their feet on the other side, they said, man, he got me through that. I can do anything. How many of you in this room are stronger because of your trials? Let's just be real here, right? Do not we look at life differently because of the situation we have been in, right? And disciples get it. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you right now, if I got to go in a boat in a big storm, I don't want anybody hanging around me that ain't been through a storm. I don't. I want, give me about 10 folks that's been through that before, and they put their arm on my shoulder and say, hey, calm down, we're getting to the other side. How many understand that's what we need? We need people that have been there and done that. Is that true? Been there and done that. And that's why we go through these trials. So that when we come through them, we are able to minister to others the same journey that they are walking through. How many understand that? That's discipleship. That's discipleship. How many still want to be a disciple? Well, I've been a disciple for a long time, and I know that Bob will be looking at me pretty soon here. Pretty soon. Let's do it one more before he pulls the plug on us. Let's do Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 22. Acts 14, verses 21 to 22.
When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.
See, that's your job. That's your job. A disciple's job is not to go to somebody and say, poor you, poor you, poor you, your life is so terrible. No, that's not a disciple. Disciple says, get your head up and get your shoulders square. And get back in the race. That's what disciples do. One real quick story here. There was once a group of kids went on a field trip. And they went to a silversmith, like an old economy kind of thing. Everybody know where old economy is? Like one of those kind of field trips, right? And they went to an old silversmith. And the silversmith was starting to make silver. And all the kids gathered around the furnace. And they said to the silversmith, well, how long is this going to take? And the silversmith said, don't know, I never timed it. And the silversmith put some more wood in the fire. And one of the kids said, how hot you got to get it? No, no, I never measured it. Hot as it takes, I guess. Kept putting more fire in it. And the silversmith would pull out, you know, this big iron kettle, put ore in it and put it back in the fire. Pulled out, looked at it, put it back in the fire, pulled out, looked at it. The kids are getting kind of impatient. Well, when's it going to be done? Don't know, I never timed it. I don't know when it's done. And the kids just anticipating. He finally pulled out and smiled. It's done. But how do you know it's done? Well, come close, but don't touch the pot. It's really hot. Just look inside and tell me what you see. This girl said, oh, I see myself. I can see myself. And the old ironsmith said, well, when you can look in the kettle and you can see your reflection, it's done. That's how you know it's done. Well, God does that to us. We're tested through the fire. We're hardened by the fire. All of the impurities are burned away from the fire. And how long does it take? Long as it takes, I suppose. Oh, how hot? I don't know, but hot enough, I suppose. You see, Jesus puts you in the fire, pulls you out. And Jesus puts you in the fire and he pulls you out. And Jesus puts you in the fire and he pulls you out. He burns away all that junk. How many got junk in your life? He burns away the junk, burns away the junk, burns away the junk. And when he looks into the pot and he can see himself. I'm going to tell you that one more time. It's worth the trip. When he pulls the kettle out and looks inside and he sees his reflection, you are done. And you ain't going to get that way without testing. Amen. And you're not going to get that way without being fireproofed. You're not going to get that way not on your knees. You got to get that way through the fire. How many are thankful for God's fire? Amen. So do not pray for a cushy seat on the bus. Martin Luther King once said, in the days of discrimination in the South, when the African Americans were not permitted to sit in the front of the bus. Did you know that? He would get on the bus sometimes and the first 20 rows would be empty, but you couldn't sit there. You had to walk on past. You know what Martin Luther King said? They can make me sit in the back, but my spirit's in the front seat. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. And we have got to learn that you want to build a church? You build it not from the outside in. You build it from the inside out. Who wants to grow in the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. And help us to understand, Lord, it's through the trials. This prosperity doctrine is not true. We in this room are blessed. We are wealthy beyond measure. When you have a little three-year-old who wants to hang around with their pap because he's his best friend, I'm wealthy. And you can't have it. You get it yourself. On your knees. Being the kind of people that God wants you to be. Lord, help us, please. Help us, Lord. To remember that we have a past, but we sure got a future too. And Lord, for those of us who are still in the fire being burned away, don't let us lose patience. Let us stay in the fire until we are fireproofed. Burn away all the junk, Lord, until you can see our image in you. And all of God's people said, amen. May the ushers come forth for our tithes and our offerings, please. Let us be in prayer. Father God, one of the disciplines of being a disciple is to tithe to you with happy hearts. That's a discipline. Trust you more than we trust ourselves. So Lord, we gladly give back to you even the smallest measure of what you've given to us in abundance. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. As we are getting ready to do our last song of the day, I have wrote some more of a study for discipleship. And I want to let you know now it's going to take a lifetime. So keep on coming. Because we're going to keep on growing. And all of God's people said, amen.
Oh, they are shaken from their believing.
Let's all stand and rise if we're able. And let's go to the Lord with our final song of the day.
Thank you. became sin. Who